Matthew chapter number 16. You know this passage, and we're going to read a couple different verses here. Matthew chapter number 16, of course, this is the first of the Gospels. 400 years of silence after this wonderful, you know, after the gap there between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And now it opens up with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going through the ministry here, and look at Matthew chapter 16, and the Bible says this. If you got a pen, let's grab it, and let's go through a couple different things here. Matthew 16, we'll begin in verse number 13. And it says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, this is very interesting. You know this passage very well. But within the question lies the answer. He said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Now, remember back what he said to Moses. Moses said, Lord, what am I going to say when I go in there? He said, just tell him I sent you. But who sent me? He said, I am. So as the Lord asked that question, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man? Many times when the Lord asks us a question, it's not because he's looking for an answer. He wants us to reflect the question. You know, the answer is already within, right? And so he says, I am, he says the Lord. Now, verse number 14, it said, they said, now the disciples respond, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So he began to say, okay, gentlemen, who does everybody say that I am? I said, well, you know, some say Jeremiah or Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist, came from the back then. Everybody knows that there's something special about you. Now look what it says this next verse. In verse number 15, he says unto them, but whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you say, now what do you believe about? We'll say, well, my church believed. Yeah, but what do you believe? As a child of God, everything we believe should come out of this book right here. Amen? You know, it's great, like, praise the Lord for how we were raised in a good church, or my mom and dad, or had a good preacher, had good teachers, but what do you believe? And this is what the Lord says, I'm not worried about what everybody else is saying. Who do you say that I am? Now look what it says here in verse number 16, this next one, Simon Peter, he answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a beautiful thing. You remember Peter? I mean, Peter is he's the fellow with the shoe-shaped mouth. Like, every time he spoke, it's like open mouth, insert foot. Some of us have that problem. I have that problem. Anybody else have that problem? No, of course. You guys are perfect, right? You know, my wife gets nervous. When it gets silent at the table and someone says something, it gets silent, my wife gets really nervous. Because when it gets quiet, she knows I'm about to say something, and usually it's preemptive, it hasn't been thought through, and I'm just going to say it, and I'm always like, oh no, what is about to come out, you know? I'm like the Apostle Peter, I just open mouth, insert foot. Now Peter, he opens up, and a lot of times he said silly things, but this time he says, you know what, you're the Christ. Now look what it says in the next one, verse number 17. Jesus answered, and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he says, you nailed it, Peter. Good job, buddy. You got it right. I mean, you say a lot of silly things, but you nailed it. You got it right. Now look what it says here, verse number 18. We're going to start our message right here, and the crux of what we're going to look at, verse number 18. And I say, Jesus, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock, I will build. Look at this next section here. I will build my, what does it say? Church. Would you underline that word, right? It says, I will build my church, specifically the pronoun my. So let's talk this evening for a couple minutes here about the church. The church of the living God, as it says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, the church of the living God, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ started. First of all, as he begins, as we speak of the church, number one, we see that the church belongs to God. He says, I'll build my church. He doesn't say, I'll build your church, or you'll build my church. He says, I'll build my church, right? What a wonderful thing. The church belongs to God. Now, you know, this is very basic, but allow me to set this foundation before we continue on. The church belongs to our God, our Father. Now, you and I know it's not a denomination, it's not a building. You and I are the church, right? We're the body. It's you and I, and it doesn't belong to some group or some invention of man. As we go through the Word of God, it says that He, that Jesus, He's the head in Ephesians chapter 1. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he is the foundation. Ephesians chapter 2 says the same thing. It says that he purchased the church in Acts chapter 20. He purchased the church with his blood. We can go all through there. All of you know everything about the church. The church belongs to God. Now, we know that very well. That's very simple. We know everything about it. Therefore, how he says we run the church or what he says about the church, he can make the rules about the church. He could set up the way he wants his church or the priorities or the focus of the church. We say, why is the Great Commission a big deal? Because our Lord says it was a big deal. Amen? I mean, he focused on that. He said, let's get the gospel around the world. So the church, one, it belongs to him. But I want you to see something else here. In verse number 18, he said, I will build my church. Look at this next part. The gates of hell, look at these next few words, they shall not prevail against it. Number one, church belongs to God. Number two, the church is unstoppable. You know, if you were to, if our country were to, you know, maybe go the wrong way, maybe it was communism or whatever, and they grabbed the ball and all the Bibles, and they threw all the Bibles in a big pile, and they lit it on fire, and they burned all the Bibles. You know, we still have Bibles on phones and on tablets and on computers. But let's say that they got all the Bibles, they burned them all, and then they took everybody's phone and everybody's tablet and everybody's computer, and they threw it in a big old pile, and they burned it all. We still have it upon billboards and upon signs and on other places. But let's say they get it all, and they spray paint it all, and they get everything that they can, and we still have it in different books, right? And we know that. And let's say they get all the Christian books and all the signs and all the tablets and the phones and computer, and they burn all the Bible. It's still upon the heart of man. You see, the church of God, it's unstoppable. What God wants to do, no man can stop. We were in Argentina. There was a young man, him and his sister, just on fire for the Lord. They started growing. They were in the first batch of people that were going to be baptized in our church. Man, they just got on fire for God. And so we had that first batch of people for our first baptism. We were so excited. There were about 6-7 people going to get baptized, the first ones. And then they got baptized. We let them share a quick testimony. That was the very beginning. After that, I found out you need to ask people their testimony before you let it get them. Give their testimony. This one lady, she got baptized. And then I said, all right, would you like to say something? She said, you know what? One night, I had this dream, and I thought, oh, Lord, please help us. I was walking on the water in the saint, and I thought, oh, Lord. And, man, she just kept going. I thought, oh, Lord, please stop now. You know, send a bug to, you know, get in her mouth. I don't know. Do something, you know. I was thinking, no, stop. You know, what's going on? Boy, it was quite nervous. But anyway, these young people, they just got on fire for God. And we had a 26th lesson that we did for our first discipleship, the very first phase. And I remember I would give them one lesson, and I would say, here you go, my brother. And, you know, he'd fill it out. They'd take it home. They'd study it. They'd open the Bible. They'd fill it out. They'd bring it back, and then I'd give them lesson number two. Well, this young man, he came to church, and he said, I would like the discipleship. And he just got baptized a week, you know, just right prior to that. And I said, sure. And I looked around and said, I don't have any copies with me. And he said, can I just get your book? I'll run it down. And at that time, you know, Argentina, we still a lot of things were go get photocopies and everything. And so I said, sure. And so I gave him my book. It was a big, thick book. It had 26 lessons, a few lessons at the first and afterwards. And so he took it down there, and he came back, took a little while, and he gave me the book back. I said, okay, I appreciate that. Well, I thought he made his copy, and he went on. So about a week later, he came in, and he said, here, and he gives me a big old stack of papers. And he said, I finished. And I said, oh, you finished number two? Are you ready for number three? And he said, no, I finished all the lessons. I thought, all the lessons? This is supposed to last a year. You know, I didn't have a plan B. Like, what in the world, you know? And man, this guy's growing by leaps and bounds. I'm like, good. Let me give you phase number two of discipleship. And then I went home and said, oh, God, give me phase number two. I have no plan. You know, I'm just going off the whim, you know? Like, I better think of something, you know? And then we came up with our phase two. But anyway, I mean, he was just growing by leaps and bounds. So him and his sister, we're getting ready. After our second church, we're going to start a Bible college. Well, I talked to young people in the churches, and I said, we're going to start a Bible college. If you're serious about serving the Lord, then you could come in. We're going to do every day, and was going to 9 to 1 p.m. And so he said, we would like to go. And I said, that's great. And they came to me one day, and they said, well, Mom said we can't go. And I said, okay, I understand that. And I said, she said that if we go to class, the Bible college, she's going to kick us out of the house. What do you think we should do? Well, I wasn't about to tell them, you know, well, tell her, who cares? You know, like, that's not my decision to make. And we must be careful, all of us, before make decisions for others, right? I mean, we're not in their shoes. And so I said, well, I don't know. You got to pray about it. And so I began to pray about it, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if she's just speaking ill. I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I remember we finally came to the first day of class, and as we came to the first day of class, the students started to come in, and I remember out the back, this young brother and sister, they come walking in the room, and they sat at the back, and so I began to teach, and we were starting to talk. After class, I said, can I ask you, I guess your mom said it's okay to come? They said, no, she kicked us out of the house. I said, your mom kicked you out of the house? They said, yeah. I said, well, I mean, is everything okay? Yeah, we went and got something else, and we're okay. And I thought, I mean, you got to be kidding. You know, years have passed by. They both graduated. They're both serving the Lord. Now today, one of them is in charge of evangelism at the church. The other is now married, a young man who's married at our church. They're missionaries now from Argentina going over to Romania. And you know what? God is using them in a wonderful way. You know what? The church and the work of God, it's unstoppable. The devil tries to throw all kinds of different things in, but it's unstoppable. You cannot stop the work of God. I remember going into a hospital one day, and it was a Saturday. I went to visit a kid that was in the hospital. I went to visit the parents, and he was there. And I remember as I was going down the stairs, I was walking out, and he was giving out some tracts. And I was giving out the tracts, and one guy, when I come to the door, he said, what's this? And so I thought, oh, he's curious, you know, that's good. You know, sometimes in the States, maybe it doesn't happen as much, but in on a foreign field, a lot of times they'll stop right there and they'll read it. Well, I mean, he stopped and he started reading. He said, what's this? I said, oh, buddy, that's got some good news right there. It's going to tell you, you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. It's got great information. And so I kept walking. Well, he started following me. He said, well, what exactly is it? And I said, well, it's got some good information. And, you know, I wanted to give him some attention, but I was on my way. I had to go to the next place. And so he said, well, who started that church? I had no idea what he's talking about. So I said, well, Jesus is the one who started the church. He said, no, who started the church? And now he's lifting his voice up. And I'm like, you know, I don't think he's asking for, you know, because he's inquisitive, because he asked questions. I think he's asking because he's pretty upset. And so he said, who started it? And I said, well, it's actually, you know, the Lord started it, but if you're asking where I'm from the United States. We came over and started the church. He said, who started this church? And I'm thinking, man, what does this guy want? He said, you know what? We have enough religion around here. And he starts, you know, jabbering and going crazy. So I'm walking away. Mainly I'm walking away because, one, I don't want everybody here. And, two, my patience level is not that of Job. I thought, you know, keep speaking up, buddy. I'm about to turn around. Somebody's going to hit the ground. It's not going to be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, but anyway, this guy just keeps going. He's following me. And, man, he just keeps yelling and yelling. And I thought, oh, Lord. And he said, where is the church at? And about this time I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I do not want this guy to come to our church. I do not want to hear from this guy. I'm walking away, and I thought, on the back of the track, it says the name of the church, and it has the address. I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let him turn the track over. And sure enough, he said, I'm going to go there. And all of a sudden, he flips it over and said, ah, I see, I'm going to your church tomorrow, and I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to tell all the people. And man, he started giving these threats, and I'm like, oh, Lord. So anyway, I go back home, and that Saturday evening, I called all the men in the church. I'm like, would everybody be there early? So the men get there early, and I said, everybody is now a deputy of Barney Fife. You all, please help me out. You know, like, there's going to be a man. He is uberly ticked off at me. You know, he just wants to take me down. When he comes in, if you see a man come in with a machete or with a bat, stop him at the door. So that morning, I was standing up there. I have no idea what I preached. But as I was standing up there, I was reading, and, man, I was scared. I kept looking up, and I thought, this guy's going to come in and knock me down, you know. What am I going to do? You know, I should be like the Lord. I'm going to stand for a fall. I was ready to hit out the back door, you know. Like, I'm out of here, you know. Do you know what? That guy gave all kinds of threats. But listen to this. Do you know what? He never did came. Praise the Lord, because I didn't want to fight the fella, you know. He never came. But you know what? Many things, this is what the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9. Do you know what? The Lord opens great, fervent, and effectual doors, but there are many adversaries. Every time you decide to serve the Lord, boy, the devil just goes on attack, right? Man, I'm going to start giving the missions, and all of a sudden there's problems that happen. I'm going to put God first in my tithes and offerings all of a sudden, or I'm going to be faithful in church. Now all of a sudden something comes up. Whatever it is, every time we decide to serve Jesus, it's almost like the devil throws things in our face, isn't it? But you know what? When you do the work of God, it's unstoppable. The gates of hell, they won't prevail. I can tell you many stories. And our second church plant, I remember we were on the back patio. We started in the back patio of a house. And I was standing there, and we'd get everybody together. And as we'd start, you know, the neighbor's yard was over the right and all to the left. And we would sing, and everything was fine. Everybody's there, and we would sing, and everything was fine. And we'd give the announcement. Every time I would get up to preach, the neighbor's chickens would start going nuts. And I'm thinking, why? And so I'd raise my voice. Chickens would get louder. I'm thinking, I have never heard of demonic chickens, but I'm about to break out the Chick-fil-A sauce right now, you know, if you hold them, shut up, you know. But you know what? They would try to stop. And I can tell you about people who used to throw rocks up on our tin roof and turn the radio all the way up every time we'd preach. I can tell you about the Catholic Church telling all the kids, we won't give you confession, which they had to do to go through school. We won't give you, or confirmation, excuse me, to go through school. If you ever go back to that church, God was doing something and the devil kept trying to stop what God was doing. But guess what? The Church of God, it's unstoppable. You can't stop the work of God. One man said it this way, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You know what? They try to stop it all, but God keeps it going forward because the Church of God, it's unstoppable. Now go with me very quickly. Next verse right there, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. Look what it says here. So we see that the church, one, it belongs to God. The church, secondly, we see it's unstoppable. But look at verse number 19. And I, this is Jesus, will give unto thee, that's the disciples, the followers of Jesus, that's you and me, those who love him. I will give unto thee, look at this next section here, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I'll be honest, for a long time, I had no idea what this meant. I would come to first, but I'd say, I got it. Man, it just whirlwinded me. And I don't know about you, but I would look up different commentaries, and usually commentaries, at least in my experience, I would look them up and they would tell me the verses, everything that I understood, they would just elaborate on what I already understood. And when I had a question, they would say nothing about it and skip that verse. And I thought, you fellows are as smart as I am. You don't know anything, you know? And so and I would look, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I couldn't figure it out. Some of them said different things. I could not figure it out. Well, I remember reading one commentary, and it gave some idea like this. I'll read it. It said, when the Jews were made a doctor of the law, they were given keys to the closet where the sacred books and the scrolls were kept in the temple, signifying that they had authority to teach and explain the scriptures to the people. Well, I kind of had a grasp, a little bit understandable. But a few years ago, we have every year, this year we'll have three during the summertime, we have what we call the world's cheapest mission trip in Atlanta. A lot of, we'll get different groups that'll come down and we'll take them every day to a different religious site. We'll go to a Buddhist temple and a Hindu temple and to a Catholic cathedral, a Muslim mosque, and we'll go to a Jewish synagogue. We'll go to different places and missionaries will take them. They'll talk to them, and it's the cheapest mission trip because you don't have to pay airfare, praise the Lord, and you don't have to pay for a visa or a plane ticket, which is the majority. So we call it the cheapest missions trip. And so we'll go down there. We have a great time. Then we experience. We'll go to a Spanish church. We'll go over to Chinese neighborhoods, all kinds of different areas. Just a wonderful time. Well, I remember we went to a synagogue. And as we went to the synagogue, we'll usually go to the same places every year. And as we went to the synagogue, I remember it was a younger rabbi. And the rabbi, there's this big old desk, and he was talking to us. He said, let me show you all something. He turns around, he walks over, and he opens this closet. And as he opens the closet, he gets out these big old scrolls. And he brings the scrolls and he lays them on this big desk and he rolls them all the way over and he rolls them all the way over. He begins to tell everybody, now the way that they're written, rabbis that are professional, that are specifically set apart for this, they're the ones who still write, as in maybe in the Old Testament when God would say when a new king comes in, the king must write down the law. What a wonderful thing. That way he would know what God's word said. And he said, so we still write it until this day. And he said, here's what it is. Any questions? And, you know, the young people, they would start asking questions. Well, what kind of paper is it? You know, it's papyri. And, well, where did it come from? And who says it's blessed? Or, you know, all these different things. Well, one person asked him, said, what is that room that you went over there and you got it from? He said, oh, let me tell you about that. And he pulls out these keys. And he said, that room right there is a closet, and it's a sacred place that only the rabbis, the doctors, the ones that are given the authority, those guys can go over and they can open it up. And we give out the scripture, we show it so that everybody can learn and everybody can know. And all of a sudden it was like a light bulb, like ding. And I thought, I understand it. Do you know, you and I, we go out, when the disciples of that time, when they would go out, we talk to somebody about Jesus. And all of a sudden, when that person, the Holy Spirit does the work, and that person puts their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, and what's done here upon the earth, all of a sudden their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their life is forever changed. Their destiny is changed. Their master is changed. Everything is new, a new song, a new desire, new goals. Everything has changed. What's done here is done up there. And God says, you know what? I've given you the authority. You've got the keys. Now you can open up. And as you talk to people, what's done here will be written down, will be sealed up in heaven. Now, what a beautiful thing. I've seen it. I'm sure, brother, I enjoyed that video. That was just amazing. And you know what? All those people, just people that have accepted Christ that are now preparing for the ministry. You saw it, all those churches, 17, did you say? Or I mean, just, boy, I mean, God's doing a work in Rwanda and South Sudan. What a wonderful thing. And do you know what? Simply, my brother and other people walked over and they spoke, just told them about Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit does the work and their lives are changed. While I'm here this week, preacher gave me access and the keys to the van outside. Now, after I leave here and he receives all kinds of tickets in the mail, he'll know never to do that again. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Like, you call it the red van. I call it Flash. You know, I'm just kidding. I could drive that baby 100 miles. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, man, I drive that. And boy, just what a wonderful thing. I want to check how big the engine is. You know, like, anyway, but you know what? Preacher, you know, in signifying what he did was he gave me these keys, which is the authority to drive by, and everybody says, there's Victory Baptist Church. Now, as I'm cutting them off, they shouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, now as I drive by, now I've got the authority to drive that van wherever because he's given me the key. Now, listen to this, dear friend. You know what missions is all about? You and I having the keys. Going around locally and going around globally, sharing the precious news of Jesus Christ so that lives can be changed. We are key holders. But dear friend, may we not take the keys that God has given us, throw them in our pocket. May we walk around using the precious keys of speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ so lives can be changed. I've seen people change and move from witchcraft to now serving and addicted to things of God. I've seen people that were once in just as nasty vices of sin, of drugs and alcohol, that now are serving Jesus faithful in churches. People that were in prostitution that are now serving Jesus, people that were in jail, now that are in Bible college, people that were thieves, that now are in love with Jesus. I've seen lives change because I know something. Absolutely not. It's because God allowed me to use the keys. You don't have to be anything special, dear friend. We just have to know where the power is right there in the keys. When you have the key, you can unlock the door and you can get in. God's given you the authority, dear friend. We could send my brothers. We could send my sisters. We could send them overseas. We've got the keys. We could tell them here locally and globally. We've got the keys. God has given us the authority. Allow me to read one of my favorite books. It's a book called Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. Just a wonderful book. And in this, he writes a poem, and it says this. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just watch his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you and I sit at ease in Zion with the world around us damned? See, he's given us the keys. Do you know when you give the missions, dear friend, God is blessed because you and I are exercising to get the gospel around the world. When you give the mission, not only God is blessed, but now the people overseas are blessed because now they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're blessed, not only is God blessed and the lost are blessed, but the missionaries are blessed because they can get over there and do the work that God's called them to do. When you and I do our job and give the mission, not only is God blessed and the lost blessed, and not only the missionaries blessed that can get over there, but the church is blessed because we are continuing on the Great Commission, sending the gospel around, but not only is the church blessed and God blessed and the lost blessed and the missionary blessed, you as an individual are blessed. Because by faith, you're seeing God use the little that you have to get around the world. When I was a kid, we'd sing a song, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't have much. God, I don't have talent. I don't have ability. God, I don't have a lot of money. God, I don't have a lot of time. God, I don't know about my kids. God, but whatever you want to do, it's all yours, God. And the keys that you've given me, I will faithfully be a key holder. And I'll take them and unlock the doors that you've given. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. Father, we love you and thank you. Now, Lord, use us. God, we thank you that the church is yours. It's not ours. God, we thank you that it's unstoppable. The devil tries to discourage us and throw us off the path and do anything and everything. But God, thank you that it's unstoppable. God, we have you with us. And when you're with us, who can be against us?